before Jeffrey Epstein's sentence, for whatever reason, you have this billionaire who's just the definition of a flight risk. They don't take his passport away. And before he's sentenced, he flees the country, goes to Israel, stays there for several months, moved all his money offshore by this point. And while he's in Israel, he's telling people there that he's thinking about staying because you can actually do that. They don't extradite, you know, Jewish criminals, at least who flee to Israel. There's a organization called Jewish Community Watch, which is a Jewish organization, that tracks pedophiles who have fled the United States to go to Israel, where there's no extradition of Jewish criminals there. And between just the years, I think it was 2010 when they started, when they opened up, and 2016, 2017, when this story was written, so a period of 6 years, there were already 60 pedophiles from the United States that had fled to Israel and were living freely there. Some of them had reoffended there and got thrown in Israeli jails. But so this is a thing, you know, and Jeffrey Epstein was over there.
Why doesn't the U.S. government demand the government of Israel send them back?
I mean, you've been self-employed for a while, but when you weren't, was it your habit to go to your boss and make demands of them on a regular basis? I don't know. I mean, since when do we ever make demands on Israel?
I don't know, but I, you know, that's obviously distressing. I had one of the most interesting conversations I've ever had. I had with a very spiritually attuned, very smart friend of mine, and I was saying, you know, I'm a man, and I hate lying, and I just want to be honest about it. Like, people do, you know, bad sexual stuff, and I don't, but I don't judge that much, because you're like, you know, we're all in the wrong circumstance capable of anything. But I said to this person, I don't get the, like, underage girl thing. That's like, they're not into it, their kids. Maybe I have too many kids or something. I'm not being selfish, I'm just being honest. No, I just don't get that. I don't see any appeal at all.
It's a pathological obsession. I mean, Epstein was into girls with braces specifically.
Exactly. So what is that? And the conventional explanation is, maybe I'm being too honest, but I think this is really revealing, because it's not about sex. It's a spiritual thing. And I said, what is that? And this friend of mine said, it's the thrill of destroying innocence. That's
yes.
What it is.
Yeah.
And that is the definition of evil. That is Satan right there.
That was,
it's taking something pure. I guess this is maybe, I'm the only person who ever thought of this. Maybe you have already have. I had not thought of that. I was like, it's not just a sexual attraction. Like, oh, I think, you know, underage girl. They're not. No normal person thinks that. That's bizarre. No. The idea is that I'm destroying something that's pure.
Yeah. And throughout history.
Well, that's Satan acting. Sorry.
Throughout history, people have looked at that as something that confers power. That's what child sacrifice.
Exactly.
Is, you know? And where people get that idea, I don't know, but it's apparently deeply ingrained enough.
It's not an idea. It's a spiritual reality. And
right.
It's like the core of the Christian message where, you know, Satan says during at the end of the 40 days of temptation to Christ, you know, bow down before me and I'll give you all this power. And that's clearly the arrangement, which is explicit or not, but it's real not nonetheless, between leaders when they kill in a wanton way, which most of them do, and when they destroy beauty and innocence, you're doing that in exchange for power. And it is a real trade. Like, that's all real.
Absolutely. And I think he's talking about me there, so that's what I've talked to Tucker about at length, his experiences. We're going to go to break, and we're going to come back with William F. Jasper, who is the head of the John Birch Society and also the editor of the New American Magazine. He is the expert on the globalist. And you know, more and more, I just want to grade Trump report card-wise, how he's doing good, how he's doing bad. Also wanted to get Jasper's take on what he thinks is going on with this insane Epstein attempt at a cover-up when I never saw any evidence there. Now we know. I don't have a good idea. I know what's going on. And this recent stuff the Wall Street Journal released, or said they're going to release, which is a nothing burger, but out of the Epstein cases, is exactly what we thought it was. They've spiked all the stuff they left behind. So that when Trump goes in there to get it, it's a bunch of innuendo and crap about him. Well, that's why Trump's so angry, but he's handling it very badly. But I've confirmed people behind the scenes, he's really tired. And he's just very angry, and he does this on a lot of things now. And he's not going to just sit around and even tell people why he's doing things. So that's what's created this fiasco. But it's going to blow up the Democrats' face. We'll be right back with William F. Jasper. Stay with us.
Holds magic inside of his glove. He makes
and hated and attacked media organization in the world by every evil, disgusting, sickening organization on the face of the planet. And I'm going to say it. If you're going to go as big as you can. That's why John Hancock literally saw people signing their names, little bitty, and people he knew signing them. You really couldn't tell who they were. And I get it. Every person signing that was signing their potential death warrant. He got up there and went, boom. And he said, if I'm going to have the king coming after me, I want him to come after me, number one.
That's a pretty large signature, Johnny.
Yeah, I'm going to risk my life fighting tyranny. Anybody that's ever been in fights, you're not looking for fights, but you've been in a few. You learn, you hesitate, when somebody's trying to beat the hell out of you, you're going to get your ass kicked. But you just decide to beat the living hell out of them and stop worrying about who's winning. And you're going to win almost every time unless you're fighting Mike Tyson. I know people will knock you upside the head really hard and like sit back and look at what it did. Or somebody will hit you in the side of the head with a baseball bat and they'll kind of sit back and watch to see what it did. I'm like a Terminator. You're about to find out.
I'll shove that bat up your ass and turn you into a popsicle.
So that's what's going on here. And I love it because we're drawing their fire. We've exposed them. We've drawn them out of their rat holes. To do all of this, the Soros scum and the Soros DA and just all of them, they're filth. They're disgusting tyrants. Just like judges in Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia. They're disgusting. And it's like we're in the dark and they got night vision. We're in a pitch black arena with no light and they've got their illuminators on and they can see us and we can't see them. Well, guess what? I walked over with my listeners collectively and pulled the switch and turned the lights on.
The real war's here with the globalists and Soros and Obama and the New World Order and BlackRock. They've declared war on us, and we accept the challenge. We're taking the country back.
Their attacks on Trump, their lawfare, their all the criminal activity, how'd that work out for them? They were dumb enough to brag, remember, everywhere. It'll be over for Trump when this mugshot comes out in Georgia. We're finally getting it. Every channel, remember? It's the end, the mugshot, the mugshot, the mugshot. And then Trump nails it with a beyond Clint Eastwood, badass American Eagle gaze of total defiance that everybody looks at and knows deep down, that's the alpha male, that's the badass, that's the defiant real person. You can't fake that look. And then when they shot him, you got even more of that look, except the lips pulled down and the teeth bared and the eyes bugging out. Yes, yes, we get to see who's really who at times like this, don't we? And now the bad guys are going to find out who's really who, aren't you? Because the veneer of civilization is burning off. And all the posers and all the thugs and all the bullies who thought they had this country on its knees and cowed are now just beginning to understand that they have awoken the terrible giant!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
All right, for the balance of the hour, the president of the John Birch Society, the editor of the New American Magazine, thenewamerican.com, William F. Jasper, and more than probably anybody else, just in general, my knowledge of the globalist system is from the John Birch Society, and this guy particularly, their most prolific filmmaker, writer, journalist, you name it, now the head of it. And again, I had family grew up that had all their materials, all of it, even before, you know, had all the Cleon Skousen books. I grew up around it, so I knew it. And you know, my dad hosted anti-communist shows when he was in high school in Dallas. He would drive up to Dallas from the countryside south of Dallas. And so I just kind of grew up around it, but they've had the best track record. They also do report cards on Congress and more. But just to put a finer point on this, because I see a bunch of stuff on X and everywhere, my phone blowing up. Am I done with Trump or am I still with Trump? I never said I was done with Trump. I said 13 days ago when this fiasco started, I said this is the worst Streisand effect ever. I said Trump's behind it last Monday. And then, of course, people said, you're a traitor. It's Bondi. And Trump came out. No, it's me. He said, shut up. Move on. And I needed to figure out what that was. I made calls, and things went on. And then Trump came out and, you know, said they've spiked the file with a bunch of garbage. Comey, Brennan, Clapper, which we know have been running the file. And I knew all that stuff back at the time. Turned out I was being spied on by them and the NSA and the FBI as part of the same project trying to find dirt. That's all come out in multiple sources, documents, court, you name it. So I chewed the same dirt with Trump, literally. I know this stuff upwards and backwards, take 100 hours to even cover what I know. Just did a lot of it in the last few hours you saw. And so I said when this Wall Street Journal thing popped, I said it's going to be poison pills. I didn't know it'd be fake drawings they won't show you. But next it'll be Melania's been a prostitute, and Epstein, none of that's true. They already did that. The Jane Does that were fake, we're going to have that. And Trump then learned that when he sent the FBI to get the files. He's like, oh, my God, again? And he's doing this on a bunch of issues behind the scenes. He just starts yelling at people and says, nope, we're not doing that. And he's not going to even describe it, which then he finally learned was not good and has now said, okay, go to the actual court grand jury stuff with Ghislaine and with Epstein and bring it out. So people are asking me, and I want to go to this first one. We have Jasper to move into all the other issues that I got him on about. Well, obviously, this is front and center. And what the globalists are doing while we're distracted with this is that I see the debate. Oh, Jones has turned on Trump because the media misrepresents it. Or people go, oh, he's paid off of the Democrats to do this. Or, oh, suddenly Alex is defending Trump. So that means he didn't like the blowback he got. No, I've never seen the audience more outraged and agreeing with me. But I don't do what the audience wants. I'm going to explain something. I don't do any of this for money. I've been offered $50 million personally a year before the globalists all sued me by the richest man in the world at the time. And people said, well, release it. It was an off-the-record thing. It wasn't a criminal offer. It was criminal. I would reveal it. And I had a bunch of other stuff like that. So I'm all about making money and, you know, being secure and having, you know, nice house and car and stuff if I can do it morally. But money is literally on my hierarchy of needs way down at the bottom, okay? It's all about changing the world. It's all about taking on tyrants. What I've done for 31 years on air is consistent. I've just learned more and gotten more sophisticated. And everything William F. Jasper for 50 years has done is consistent and is continual. And so it's not about defending myself. It's about, yeah, a lot of these influencers and other people, they get money and they do this and they just ride bandwagons and they do talking points. We don't do that. What Trump did was a disaster, was the worst behavior ever to create a Streisand effect. And I said, I've never seen the evidence of this, but this looks bad. And I've gotten more and more upset because I have to do that. And a bunch of influencers have said back off it at first. Now I've had to agree with me. But I'm not here trying to win, you know, the high school class presidency or something. Okay, I'm here as a leader to change the world. When I believe something's wrong and the herd's going the wrong direction, a leader goes the other direction. And usually real leaders don't even get to see their victory in their lifetime. I've been so blessed. I've got to see total vindication in spades. Now, enough about me. That's where I stand. That's why this is changing and nuanced as we look at it. And if it came out Trump was involved in something real and bad, I will come out against him as soon as I know it's accurate, instantly. I can't even control myself, okay? Integrity is not something you have. It's something you are, in my experience, okay? Courage is not something you have. You are courage, all right? And what's really going on with Trump has happened to me to a lesser extent. When you don't give in to pressure and persecution, and you don't act like a victim and you get stronger, you get aggressive, you get meaner, you get smarter, and it's not demonic energy, it's more berserker energy, but I have to control it all the time because I get to where, when you don't have fear of these people, fear, a little bit of fear I think is good. I'm going to go to our guest. But the problem is once it's all gone, you are a maniac. And I wanted to talk about this last few months. I wanted to hold off because enemies would use it, but yeah, I told the Russians, the Chinese on air, you better tread softly, and the Democrats too, because Trump has, you know, he's not nuts, but grumpy old man, you ain't seen it. I mean, he is done, okay? I'm going to shut up now and go to William F. Jasper to give us our take on this and overall and what the globalists are doing, the big global power grabs they're trying to sneak through and all the things that are going on, a huge new issue of the New American Magazine. You want the blueprint of what's happening, it's right there, thenewamerican.com, William F. Jasper on X. All right, William, thanks for holding while I said that. I just needed to because James O'Keefe's coming in next hour. I want to do a commercial-free podcast for 2 hours with you soon. You can send your whole list and videos. We'll do a tour de force. But I haven't talked to you. I haven't seen your views on this. I want to know what it is. I respect it. Please tell us what you think.
You're talking about the Epstein.
This whole Trump. Insane fiasco.
Yeah, immediately, that's what I thought. Oh, my gosh. Why would he take this stand? You've seen all of the explanations from people across the political spectrum. The first thing people say is it's because he's in it, because he went to Epstein Island, etc. I don't believe that's the case. If it is true, if the evidence shows that, then I would condemn him the same as anyone else. But the Biden administration, the globalists behind it, have had that evidence for all this time. And they did everything possible to destroy him. They tried to impeached him. They tried to use the 25th Amendment on him. They tried internal coups. They torpedoed him every which way by the deep state, all the different intelligence agencies, the deep state swamp agents, attacked him numerous times. All of the media, all of the globalist media attacked him mercilessly, relentlessly. They, as you've pointed out, they used lawfare against him, from Fannie Willis to Jack Smith to all the rest of them. Then you had all the different states' attorney generals and lawfare going on, trying to keep him out of the election. So they've tried everything to get rid of him. Do you think they would not have used the Epstein material on him if they had it? So, yes, we know that he had some engagement or relationship with Jeffrey Epstein going back years ago. I don't know what the most recent one would be, but it, early 2000s, but most of it was 80s or 90s from everything that I've seen. And keep in mind, Epstein was a predator, and regardless of what Alan Dershowitz says, Epstein, I believe all of the evidence shows that he was an intelligence asset. The question is, which intelligence agency or agencies, the CIA, the Mossad, the KGB, all of the above?
Well, I was about to say, you're an expert on this, so am I, just from history and experiencing it. But for those that don't know, Ian Fleming wrote the James Bond novels. He was high-level OSS at MI6, and he's explaining Spectre has people in the KGB, in the MI6, in the CIA, and is manipulating, and that's really how these groups work. So you can have somebody who's even a contractor or not even an official asset who's actually in charge of compartmentalized operations from outside globalist groups. So people are just now getting this, turned to this interview with a historian. It's like, unbelievable. He mean he was a freelancer with the CIA, Mossad, and MI6. Of course, but from what I know, Maxwell had the family franchise from her dad, who was Mossad, MI6, and KGB on record. And so, of course, the real operatives aren't officially in it because then there's no oversight. People don't understand how this works, and I can't believe they're just now figuring it out.
Well, and also the MSS, the Ministry of State Security of China. I mean, he had operations with China as well. So, I mean, we know from the Swalwell case and others, the Midwest mayor's cases with the Chinese honeypots, that this is standard operating procedure. You want to, I mean, and it goes back a long ways, just that the CIA and the KGB and the MSS have been, and the Mossad have become experts at this. If you want to have leverage on politicians, on financiers, on business titans, the best way is to compromise them and with drugs, with bribery, with gambling, or with girls, and or for those who are perverse with little kids, little boys. So we know that's a standard operating procedure. It is in all of the intelligence agencies. And so if they had this information on Trump, I believe they would have used it
100%, or he would have buckled, and then they wouldn't have gone after him because he'd be working for them. And right. So here's the bottom line:
if they were able to squeeze him enough to get him to do what they wanted him to do, or to back off on the things that they don't want him to do, all of his anti-globalist measures, they would have done it by now. So what are some of the other possibilities for why he would do this? It's a colossal mistake politically. He really does need all of the MAGA supporters who are demanding this, who he promised to them that we would get to the bottom of this. This is not a side issue. This is really a core issue. If we have this kind of corruption in our government and this kind of espionage in our government at the highest levels and in our financial circles, the country will not survive because we will not be able to get any kind of true policies put in place. So what's the other explanation for it? Well, how did they convince him to do this? We knew that what they released back in February, phase one, was nothing. I already had all those documents from the court cases. You probably did too. You probably already had shown them.
Absolutely.
Black book, the flight logs, all of
only
that.
The only thing new was, I think, Ehud Barak, so the Israeli prime minister. So, I mean, I now know what happened. I've reverse engineered it. I've confirmed it with a bunch of sources. And now the White House is like, yeah, you figured it out. He wouldn't tell anybody, but now he says that's it. They now have the files that they grabbed from the FBI that wouldn't give it to the FBI in D.C. in March. And Trump's like, yeah, release it. And then they come back and they go, sir, it's the recycled Jane Does that didn't exist. It's your wife being, you know, a hooker for Epstein, which we know is not true. We've already been over this. And it's a bunch of other weird stuff that Maureen Comey stuck in the cases. And I was told this over the weekend and had figured it out, but I didn't want to release it yet. Now we see them rolling it out, and all the rest of it is now going to be rolled out. And Trump just blew up because he's like, another Russiagate. And he was very grumpy old man about it and just said, hey, if you like what I'm doing, be with me. It's the same liars, Comey, Brennan, and it is them that were over the file, as you said. So this all makes sense now. And then now that Trump was presented with what I've been saying the last few days, he basically said, yeah. But he goes, I'm not going to. And so exactly. He basically threw a fit. But I believe now this is going to backfire on Comey, Brennan, and Clapper and ensure, because I've been told by the Justice Department, I mean, high up, that I've talked to a lot the last 3 days, I mean, right up there, that no, it's, they now are going to try to indict Brendan Clapper and Comey. That, I mean, I've been told by Roger Stone, I'm going to stop right there, and he usually is very tepid and doesn't have a lot of faith. He said, no, he believes it's going to happen. So I think they've really misjudged. This is not the old Trump, William F. Jasper.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's going to recover. So here's the thing. We remember back in Trump 45, right in the first year, I believe it was in 2017, we had the anonymous New York Times, I'm in the resistance in the belly of the beast, and we're sabotaging the Trump administration from within. And boasting about this, about how all of these people from previous administrations were in there, and we're not going to carry out Trump's plans. Every day we're working to try to subvert it. Turns out later it was Miles Taylor who admitted it later on. The New York Times had published this as a way, as gleefully, just like the Time magazine one by Molly Ball after the election, 2020 election, saying all of these groups, disparate groups, big unions, big labor, big business, big tech, big pharma, all came together, big media, to find a way to stop Trump. So they have very deep swamp connections in everyone, in the FBI, DOJ, DOD, Department of Homeland Security, all of the key agencies. They're doing everything every day, people who haven't been rooted out yet, who haven't been purged. And at the FBI and DOJ, we know that when they sent up to New York to get the files on Epstein, the guy in charge up there, they had to root him out. And when he was kicked out of the FBI, you see it on the news coverage there. All of these employees of the FBI office there in New York, they're all out there either clapping for him, praising him, or crying because he's leaving. These are all deeply embedded subversives within the government who are trying to obstruct the legally, licitly, validly elected president.
Well, he said, the head of the FBI in New York said, I'm a Marine. We're dug in. Trump's the enemy. Don't give them anything they want. And then they go, then they leak. They've got 14 terabytes of Epstein material. And of course, it's pure crap and a bunch of poison pills. It's so obvious but Trump has not articulated that. And I've now confirmed from FBI sources, White House sources, everything that I figured out and pieced together, that's what they're saying it is. So how do you think Trump should respond to this now?
Yeah, so this is Operation, what is it? The Hurricane. This is
Crossfire Hurricane.
All over.
Oh, it's a Crossfire
again.
Hurricane crew. It's the very same people.
Yeah, and so they had all of the files, all of the evidence. They could purge the stuff that they wanted to get rid of that would compromise any of their people, and insert files and bogus material, just like we saw with the Crossfire Hurricane. I mean, it's a tough thing. I believe they still have to release it. There's a way. The FBI has the resources. They have the people there to sort out what things are false that were inserted, when they were inserted. And they should this should become the issue by which
absolutely
they
the poison pill should be they should be hoisted on their own petard. And we already know the first salvos are out of the criminal cases in New York run by Maureen Comey. And the fact that she got axed finally yesterday shows that Trump is in a rage over this, because he's so busy. He didn't even know, and I confirmed this with people that talked to him last night, he didn't even know that Comey's daughter, because Trump doesn't know all this stuff. He doesn't follow all this.
Sure. I mean, when you think of the thousands of people that are embedded in all of these agencies, but someone should have within the Justice Department known this and had purged her out long ago. But, so one has to believe that we still have hundreds, thousands in the various agencies that are doing these things.
Oh, they have to do polygraph tests. I've been talking to task force leaders and others, and they just say, you don't understand. We've been given $1 billion for this task force, but these people lie. I mean, they have to do research on each person. Ed Martin's been given 800 plus employees, but he goes, I could take years making sure I've even got the right people.
Yeah, I mean, so what you have to do is search their social media. And they've purged a lot of that already. They've already deleted a lot of that stuff. You've got to do individually, person by person. But if you put everybody in a polygraph as a test, as a way to begin, you're going to be able to sort out and weed out a large number of them.
Stay right there, sir. I want to come back and talk about Big Agenda, the globalist, your report card on Trump, and more. William F. Jasper, the top expert in general overall knowledge of the globalist, heading up the original OG organization that we would be completely defeated if it wasn't for the John Birch Society. And, of course, the most important groups never get any praise. No, nobody in modern American history has done more than this organization, and he's the head of it. We'll be right back. Announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I am beyond excited about this. I've wanted this knife for a year. It's super high quality. They finally got the right supplier and a bunch of them. It's in a beautiful keepsake black box with my signature in silver lettering on the top. And when you go inside, this incredible combat battle dagger, limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger, a high-tech, super high quality sheath with a high-tech clip under your belt or your pants, and it's got a special system where the knife doesn't come out when it's upside down. It takes a little pull to get it out. It is amazing. This is, in my opinion, the very best defense battle dagger you can get. It's an incredible price for $79.99 right now. This knife by itself in store sells for $100 every day, but we bought 5,000 of them, so got the price down really low wholesale, so we can pass that on to you, and the profit we make goes in to fund this operation. So you don't just get a great defensive system for yourself and your family, great in your car, great on your side, great in your purse, your glove compartment, also skin a buck with it, whatever you need. This is an amazing knife. You not only, though, get something to defend yourself, you defend the Republic in the information war by funding this operation. So get your limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and it keeps this operation on the air. This isn't just a blade, it's a symbol of freedom. The limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger is forged by patriots ready to defend the Republic from the globalist agenda, featuring a double-edged black-coated blade for unmatched durability and precision. This dagger is built to last. On one side, side is etched my signature, while the other side proudly bears 1776, a reminder that the spirit of revolution lives on stronger than ever. With its ergonomic, non-slip grip designed ready for any mission, the dagger isn't just a tool, it's a statement. Whether you're adding it to your collection or keeping it close as a symbol of resistance and for defense, this blade is for those who know that the answer in 1984 is 1776. Get yours now. And then, we are announcing a limited sale, the Power Drive Bundle of Power Plant and Methyl Drive, which goes incredibly good with Methylene Blue. And both of these give you incredible natural energy, clarity, and focus. But you mix them together with Methylene Blue, I will tell you, in Chase Geyser's observation himself, 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Did you hear what I just said? 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Get yours now, discounted massively, 50% off when you get them together. 50% off on the Power Drive Bundle for a limited time, 1 week, at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds this operation, 1776 worldwide. Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list, your text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution, you are the solution, you're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification, that is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match, and the InfoWar is everything, and you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Coming to you live from the Infowars.com studios in the recaptured state of Texas, it's Alex Jones.
And it's William F. Jasper, president of the Jobbird Society and editor of the New American Magazine, the best. We have James O'Keefe just now arriving. He's going to be with us in the fourth hour, then Owen Schroyer, 3 p.m. Central. Always amazing news information. While we've been distracted and diverted with this whole Epstein cover-up, we're clearly... they hold back the files. They delete what they want. That's already come out. The Democrats, Comey and Brennan and Clapper. And then the dime gets dropped. Oh, this is all hidden in New York. Cash Patel goes and grabs it in March. And then they get it. And there's a bunch of innuendo and crap about Trump. He throws a fit and says, let's move on. And now the Democrats are saying, we want the Epstein files released. Fine print. Anything about Trump. So this is the trap. This is the big move. And Trump has to, the indictments for Crossfire Hurricane, all of it, the CIA has released it. The Director of National Intelligence released it. Tulsi Gabbard just released more information. The Obama administration manufactured intelligence to create the Russian collusion hoax. Yes, it wasn't just Hillary and the Democrats. We already knew that, but now it's all come out in the last few months. More now released. This is how they ran the operation. So Trump and his people have to get this. They have to go on total offense. They've done the right thing, saying release all the grand jury information. Now we've got classic Democrat operatives. Senator Durbin says, oh, we're hearing that anything about Trump, when they got the Epstein files from the Democrats at the New York FBI, they were hiding in March. Pam Bondi does the right thing because Trump's like, yeah, release it. He didn't review it. She doesn't. They send it out to field offices, which you do in a real investigation. And then the FBI comes back and says, you're in here. So they go, well, then flag it so we can see it. That's normal. Now they're saying it's a cover-up. Now, if this goes the other direction, I'll report it and say, my God, I was wrong. But none of the evidence and the logic we just went over the last 30 minutes with a very smart guy, William F. Jasper, adds to that. Everything points towards a setup with poison pills. Closing analysis on that, I want to get into big picture, what the globalists are up to while we're busy distracted with this, and your report card so far on President Trump. Go ahead.
Yeah, so let's start with some very good news. Maybe you've already covered it today, but it just happened today, and that is that the Department of State, in collaboration with the Department of Health and Human Services, I just found out about this a couple of hours ago. James Rogowski, who writes a great newsletter and has been in the forefront of fighting the pandemic treaty, the pandemic agreement of the UN-WHO, he just alerted us this morning in his email that, big surprise, Trump administration, Department of State, and Health and Human Services transmitted the U.S. official rejection of the 2024 amendments to the international health regulations. This is a big deal because these international health regulations were amendments that were going to be put onto, and still are, the World Health Organization, passed the pandemic treaty last year, May of last year. And just a couple of days ago, on the 15th of July, had their first working group meeting and announced that they were selecting all of their world experts who are going to be running the World Health Organization pandemic agreement. So this rejection today, one day before the deadline, July 19th, if we didn't put it in by July 19th, then we couldn't at a later date say, well,
I did not know this. This is, explain how massively important this is.
So what this did was, they were getting so much pushback all over the world after COVID about the grabbing for this pandemic treaty power, because it was becoming more and more well known beyond fringe tinfoil hat people like you and me that, the World Economic Forum, with its Great Reset, and all of the other globalists were pushing this through the UN with big pharma, with Pfizer and all the rest of them, to give the World Health Organization dictatorial health powers. We already saw in 2020 and 2021, under the COVID dictatorship, where the whole world, the whole planet, all of humanity, for the first time in human history, had been on lockdown. We couldn't go to church. We couldn't run our businesses, couldn't open our businesses. Millions of businesses, hundreds of millions of jobs were lost. And all the big guys, though, were, Bezos with Amazon and all the rest of the big box stores, they were allowed special privileges. But we weren't allowed to go see Granny in the hospital, and many of our relatives died without any comfort of their family even able to touch them or see them. First time in history. How did the World Health Organization accomplish this? It didn't have the power to actually close everything down, but all of the national and state and subnational health authorities automatically took the WHO as the authority, and they followed the WHO policies. And so we saw the beginnings of this national health dictatorship. So right now, the if you go on the Council on Foreign Relations, the leading globalist brain trust, if you go on their website, they have a special sub website called Think Global Health. They've been behind this. We've been covering this in the New American since before the COVID pandemic. They have been pushing global health along with Bill Gates and all the rest of the globalist, Klaus Schwab, that we have to have all global health, not just human health, but animal health, plant health, environmental health. So it all has to be worked together. So we need a global plan. And so this World Health Assembly, which is part of the World Health Organization, had this international health regulation amendments that they were going to tag on to the pandemic treaty. There was so much pushback all over the globe, and this is where it broke out into and brought a lot of other people to understand all of this, because people could see what happened to them during COVID and how the pandemic treaty was going to be a disaster on steroids.
Which the UN and Tedros and all of them admit are training wheels for, quote, medical martial law and, quote, training us for carbon lockdowns. This is literally putting us into global medical martial law.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, the along with it, so what these amendments are, they couldn't get all of this into the treaty and get it passed because there was so much pushback. We even had all these left-wingers that were coming out opposed to it. I mean, even, you know, Bobby Kennedy certainly wasn't and isn't a conservative, but he is opposed to parts of the globalist agenda. You know, he's been his whole life one of the environmentalist climate change guys. But this was a bridge too far. The whole issue of the so-called vaccines, the experimental jabs and all of that, he was against that and is against that. So we saw on the left, all across the planet, many people in Greens groups and socialist groups and whatnot were opposed to this health treaty. It was primarily conservatives who were opposed to it, but there's a big crossover here. And so they had to strip out some of these things which were in the amendments. So they got the pandemic agreement passed last year in May. And so now they're going to, now they wanted to get these amendments onto it to get it back to what they had originally planned. And these amendments give massive new powers into lockdown authority, quarantines, isolation, distribution of medical equipment, all of these things that, and to designate who may travel if they have or have not passed a medical test. So the push is on for digital medical IDs, and this is what the Council on Foreign Relations in their Global Health Initiative and the World Economic Forum are pushing as well. They want to have everyone have a digital ID so that it'll be just like the Chinese social credit system, where your face is digitized, all the biometrics, you are monitored all the time. You have to, in order to go anywhere, you better have all of your vaccines and your boosters, all 14, 15, 19 of them, you know.
And they admit that. And Dr. Ryan, the head of their global response, basically says, we're going to lock you up even if you criticize what we're doing. And here's the key. People say, okay, well, that's for a pandemic. No. Bill Gates, the UN, China's involved in the standardization process. They admit this is the global ID for the ESG, for the social credit score, for everything. It's a lot bigger than just medical tyranny. That's bad enough. This is the rollout of the global ID. This is it. This is the UN in control.
Right. And so they're using this as one very important node in their whole plan, because they know they can get people to panic if they can present them with a very scary scenario, another pandemic. It's going to be harder because so many millions of people all over the globe have gotten wise to it after this last rollout. They've been trying for over 30 years to get enough panic going under the climate change thing. But as we point out in this issue of the magazine, just recently, one of Biden's top environmental advisors says, we've lost the climate change culture war. People are not responding to this. And so Democrats have to change their tune if we don't want to just become a left-wing niche movement on climate. And they're not giving this up yet, but they recognize that the global warming hoax is not playing as they wanted it to.
Meanwhile, in the EU, they're trying to outlaw, not in just the general public, but in Parliament, which is ceremonial, denying that climate change and denying carbon taxes. So they're very, very desperate, and they admit they're quote, losing.
Yes, and this is part of last year at the World Economic Forum, Ursula von der Leyen, the head of the European Union Council, she gave the keynote address on disinformation and misinformation. That's their big thing. This has been going on for quite some time, as you know. You've been accused of disinformation, misinformation, as have I. But they want to be able to create enough panic that there's all this disinformation going on, which there is, obviously, but this is gaslighting by the people who are creating the most important, dangerous disinformation and misinformation. They are projecting that on us, claiming that all of us who oppose their grand scheme for humanity, the Great Reset, etc., we are the disinformation agents. When you try to speak truth, when you're a truth seeker, a truth speaker, you're guilty of disinformation. And so they have been pushing for, and last September, in January of last year, the World Economic Forum came out with this disinformation, misinformation push. In September of last year, they had their Summit of the Future at the United Nations. And as we pointed out, very few people understand this, but in 2017, the United Nations and the World Economic Forum signed officially a strategic partnership. And we have present photos of it in there of Klaus Schwab and Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General of the UN, signing this and giving this agreement to each other. Well, they had been working hand in glove for years, for decades, but now they made it official. So here you have a private organization, the World Economic Forum, and they are officially partners of the United Nations, not just an NGO, but a strategic partner. And so the globalists in their private billionaire jet-setting club are now able to work directly with the UN, and the two have become melded as one.
And they're no longer even hiding it, that it's a Kissinger Club of Rome, WEF, corporate governance meeting that was always merged with the UN, now officially doing it, so they don't have to hide it. So shifting gears, reminding me of private groups operating as governments, the private Federal Reserve, its foreign shareholders, Jerome Powell refusing to lower interest rates, though the very same group did it for the EU, and now criminal referrals on him for the $2.5 billion renovation of the palace that he lied about and said there's nothing nice being put in. Well, then where's the $2.5 billion going? And just all of that. How should Trump respond to the private run-for-profit Federal Reserve?
Well, I agree. I only caught the last couple of minutes of Roger Stone's program with you, but I agree with them wholeheartedly. We need to abolish the Federal Reserve. And in fact, we need to repeal 1913. I mean, not only did we get the Federal Reserve, but we got the graduated income tax, and something which is seldom mentioned, we got the 17th Amendment for the direct election of senators. And most people, that's kind of something out there for them. They go, well, what's wrong with that? Of course, we're a democracy. We vote for our senators. No,
the founders didn't want an imperial senate, and so you popularly elect the house members. I know you know this, but before, though, the legislature would elect and could then recall them, giving states a check and balance on federal overreach.
Yeah, that was one of the very important checks and balances. Most people in your civics classes, if they even talk about this at all, when they're not busy destroying all the reputations of all our founding fathers and pulling down all the statues and monuments, if they talk about checks and balances at all, it's about the three co-equal branches of government, their checks upon each other. Well, The big check and balance in our federal system was the state versus the national government. And so the Constitution gives delegated powers to the federal government, to the national government. That is only those powers that are enumerated, that are delegated, because the colonies, the states that became states then, they were the principals, and the federal government was the agent. And so they're delegating, the principals are delegating certain powers. They said the rest we are reserving to ourselves. So
that's which again is the 10th Amendment.
That's why we have the 10th Amendment. Those powers not delegated specifically to the United States nor prohibited by the Constitution to the states are reserved to the states,
or the people.
The states or to the people. So
you got another layer of that, exactly, and that's the beauty of the true balance of power, so you can't get a dictatorship or an oligarchy.
Yeah, and so when the prior to the passage of the 17th Amendment, the states had a check on the federal government. We still have certain checks on the government, and that's why our push for MAGA to go MASA, MASA, Make America States Again. And
by the way, you're also worried about CONCON. I know you saw my post where I was like, you know, I like the idea of these amendments. It doesn't mean I like the idea of the CONCON.
Right, right. So, I mean, if we're going to amend the Constitution, the safest way to go about it is the rather laborious, long process of going through the states. The states approve of it, and then individually, you don't open it up for a convention where everything is up for grabs. We would have no control over that, and you can bet the globalists, with all of their assets, all of their money, all of their rent-a-mobs, would dominate it, and we would lose everything. So, right now, we're fortunate in that there is legislation to repeal the Federal Reserve Act, to abolish the Federal Reserve. And the problem that we run into, particularly with all of the Rhino Republicans, I caught that part of Roger Stone's interview too. Our real problem is with the Rhino Republicans, the sellout Republicans, who every 2 years if they're congressmen, every 4 years if they're governors, 6 years if they're senators, they run to the right and they say, ah, yes, I'm for a Second Amendment, I'm for free speech, I'm for cutting government spending, I'm for protecting and securing our borders. They know what we want to hear, so they all run out and say that. And then they get back to Washington and they do the same thing over and over again. That's why we have our congressional scorecards, our scoreboard at the New America. And if you go there right across the top ribbon there, you can see, click on it, you can see your representative, your senators, how they actually vote on key issues according to the Constitution. You've probably played videos, clips of Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Gerald Nadler, Raskin, all of these guys talking about the rule of law and the Constitution, and we have to obey the Constitution, and they either turn right around and completely eviscerate it. Well, a lot of the Republicans do that too. That's one of the things at the New American, at the John Birch Society. We are nonpartisan. We are equal equal employment opportunity here when it comes to examining, watching, criticizing those who deviate from their oath of office for the Constitution.
Absolutely. And I wanted to get you on just about a report card. So join us again soon. We can drill into who you think's bad, who you think's good from the evidence. But I mean, overall, I'm cautiously optimistic. I think Trump will recover from this. I think it overall shows that, you know, how, let's just say, not even burnout, but just how he's so focused. That's a good thing. He doesn't care about the globalists. And in real policies, he's devastating them. And I'm in pure horror, you know, at things going sideways. And I sure hope there's nothing bad there. But I'm refreshed now that as the stuff comes out, it's exactly what we thought, a bunch of ridiculous, no evidence, poison pills injected. And they've really set Trump up. But just in closing, only about a minute left. What else do you think the American people can do right now at this critical time?
Well, I mean, you look around, we are facing enormous dangers all around. Trump is doing what he promised about getting all the deporting all of the illegal aliens. And you see the desperation that the globalists, the one worlders, are employing. Epstein episode is one of them. All of the lawfare and media attacks on him, all of the attacks on ICE and on the Border Patrol by all of the rent-a-mobs that Soros and all of the... Well, the Doge effort thus far has revealed what we have shown for decades, that there would be no left-wing army out there, no left-wing militia.
Oh, I learned
militia.
About NGOs from you. Okay, we got O'Keefe coming up, but stay there. I want to do 5 more minutes with you and talk about that because, I mean, this NGO thing didn't just start 5-10 years ago. It's been building, 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 and a lot of it's getting cut off, and you see now the rent-a-mobs going from, I'd go out to an awesome protest, 5,000 commies, now it's 200. I mean, you can see the blood supply cut off. You can see the desperation. And then you got fake right wing saying Trump's not doing anything. No, we see real numbers. They dismantled enforcement. They are escalating quickly. And you see the panic. Stay right there. I want to come back to 5 more minutes with the editor-in-chief of the New American Magazine, the head of the John Birch Society, the original OG fighting the New World Order on the other side. I barely plugged today because I'm so busy. We need funds. They've appointed a receiver. We're battling in federal state court. We're winning. We caught them in all sorts of bizarre Justice Department funding all this, but it takes money to fight. And I finally got, the other lawyers weren't bad, but I got lawyers that are hardcore and get it all now. And we're kicking their ass up one side and down the other. That's why you don't see it in the news. I need support. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get the best Patriot apparel. Get the best supplements. Got a big store-wide sale, 25% off at checkout on top of all the sales. 50% off of Methylene Blue. Goodness gracious, you know about that. So much more right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Nobody told me I had 50% off of Methylene Blue. Wow, that's kind of a big deal. We'll be right back. So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former J6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on paratrooper. And he wanted to try Methylene Blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting. Do you ever get him to take it on air? All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great, to fog lifting, to just over the top crying and feel so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing methylene blue? So he's going to take it now, but guys, don't forget when he's on Owen. So maybe if he forgets before he's going to go off, to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, 2 people did not feel it. That means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half drop or so, that's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're gonna find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people it hits within about 30 minutes, starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're gonna be on Owen, so please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're gonna tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, right. I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to get.
I think it's about the Methylene Blue.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.